Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for listening. Do please help me spread the word about this show. I would greatly appreciate if you would tell others to listen in as well, whether they are Catholic or not, and whether they are into sports or not. Hopefully you've been listening long enough to know that there are really moving stories and helpful lessons coming out of the conversations on this show every week that very well just might be what someone needs to hear. So I'm grateful for whatever you can do to bring more and more listeners to this ministry community. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, where you will find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I sure love hearing from listeners, so please feel free to get in touch through any of those platforms or by sending me a message through the contact section of the website. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. There are regular occurrences in sports that we see and take for granted. For example, the fact that NHL games are on ice. Do you ever stop to merely recognize the skating aspect? What about a routine groundout in baseball? The arm on some shortstops or third basemen and their ability to game in and game out, throw out a runner at first base as though it's just a little toss? Wow. And how about a running back in football and the speed that we get to witness? I know the position is called running back, but I think we just expect that, of course, the ball carrier is going to look like a track star. In our faith life, what blessings are we overlooking because they seem routine in our daily lives? During prayer time, are we taking time out to thank God for things that maybe we just take for granted and seem, dare I say, expected? It's easy to get caught up in being grateful to our Heavenly Father for the roof over my head, the clothes on my back, the food on my table, meaning not being sincere. In other words, just going through the motions. In the New Testament, we are told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was inducted last year into the Athletic Hall of Fame at DeSales University, a Catholic school where she was a standout runner on the women's cross-country and track and field teams. During her time at DeSales, she was a part of three cross-country PAC championship teams, earning PAC Runner of the Year and All-PAC First Team honors twice each in 1994 and 1996. She was named to the PAC/CSAC 25th anniversary cross-country team and was a member of the 4x800-meter relay team that continues to hold the indoor school record. Before DeSales, she had been all-Catholic for the Philadelphia Catholic League every year of high school in cross-country as well as indoor and outdoor track. She had been awarded MVP in her junior and senior year, the latter also seeing her win Female Athlete of the Year, which encompassed all sports at Cardinal Doherty High School. She has also coached at a high school. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Amy Brooks.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Good, Amy. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Likewise. Since I mentioned the Philadelphia Catholic League, I'm going to assume that that's the part of the country where you were born and raised, but what was the family size and what do you remember about faith in your household?
Yes, I grew up in Philadelphia and I'm the oldest of five. My mom and dad were high school graduates and they got married right after my mom graduated from the same high school, Cardinal Doherty High School in Philadelphia. And so I'm the oldest of five and my parents sent us to Catholic school and we would walk to school and go to church every Sunday as a family. We often walked to church. And my dad would have us sit in the front pew. And as, you know, a seventh and eighth grader, I kind of thought that was embarrassing. My mom, my mom was pregnant with my one sister when I was in seventh or eighth grade. And so my mom had that big belly, and it was me and my brother and sister. And then actually, it wasn't until my freshman year of college that my mom had my youngest sister. So we're spread out.
Okay.
And I think I really, as a family, my dad seemed to go through a reversion. I remember, I think, when I was like around 11. So we always went to Mass, but he eventually became a Eucharistic minister. And, you know, we always prayed before meals. We would eat dinner together, and we always prayed before meals, the grace before meals. But we also prayed this Most Sacred Heart of Jesus prayer for our family. Mm. And, you know, that was really important. I was always grateful for that, to have that faith in my life, because there was a lot of questions in life, and it was nice to have our Lord to go to in prayer with questions and concerns.
Yeah, very good foundation. And it sounds like your parents were insistent that all of you children had that foundation. Let's flip over to sports, though. You started running in eighth grade. What was the impetus to get involved with sports, and that one in particular?
I always loved sports. Actually, my parents signed me up for tennis when I was 7 years old, and that was like a summer thing I did every year. I played tennis, and then I think when I was in fourth grade, my parents signed me up for soccer, and I loved soccer, and I played softball. I enjoyed a lot of sports, but I wasn't like the best on the team, and when you're in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, you're really trying to find your place with your classmates, with your teammates. And I often didn't feel included. I felt left out. So all of that was a factor when my one friend was walking up the street one day and said, I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "We're going to track. You should join." And that's when I was in eighth grade. I said, "Well, I might as well give that a try." And I can walk, you know, other things I need to, you know, to get a ride to. So I figured I would try it. And so I went and I tried it, and I ended up being put in the 400, which is one lap around the track, quarter mile, in races. And I kept winning. And I thought there was a fluke. I said, I'm winning. But I guess I realized, oh, I'm good at this. And then a couple of friends on the track team had an older sister that was in the high school that I was going to go to the next year. And she said, "You should join cross country. You should join cross country." And it honestly felt nice to be wanted on a team. So that's how I started running.
Well, share with the audience about your education, grade school through graduate school, and the common thread through all that. And I'm wondering, by the way, was this by design?
Yeah, so because we grew up in Philadelphia, they didn't have charter schools back then. And I mean, my parents were Catholic. They went to Catholic school, but they told us many times when they went to Catholic school, there was no tuition. So it definitely was a sacrifice on my parents' part to send me to Catholic grade school. So I went to St. Helena's Catholic school. And then my parents were open to me going to a public school if it was a good public school in Philadelphia, but I wanted to continue going to Catholic school. So I went to Cardinal Doherty High School, which is a Catholic school that was actually in my neighborhood and the school that both my parents went to. And when I was looking at colleges as a senior in high school, I looked at Widener University, which was not a Catholic school, and I looked at several other Catholic schools, one in which I would move to, another I would stay home and commute. And again, I chose to go to a smaller Catholic school where I would move out of my house and live in a dorm. So that was, at the time, Allentown College of St. Francis de Sales. It's now De Sales University. And when I graduated there, I didn't go right into grad school. I started teaching at a Catholic school. And I taught 7th and 8th grade for 4 years, but I was teaching religion, math, and science. And I actually went to school to teach history. So I resigned from that job, and then I got a job teaching at a Catholic high school. And I eventually got my master's degree from LaSalle University, another Catholic university. So I've been educated in Catholic schools my whole life, and I also was an educator in Catholic schools for 14 years.
And so it sounds like going to all those Catholic schools, I mean, obviously your parents started first with your grade school, but it sounds like all the decisions were yours and they were deliberate in terms of trying to attend a Catholic school for high school, for college, and for graduate school.
Yeah, so I never really thought about that too much, but definitely, yes, I definitely felt more comfortable where my faith could be. I mean, my faith, I guess, was always so much a part of my personality, and definitely teaching. As a teacher, to begin a class, to be able to begin a class with a prayer, to me, is priceless. You know.
Yeah, I'm interested in having you share that story because I was fascinated when you told me in the lead up to today, and you mentioned it a few minutes ago, audience, I hope you caught it, that Amy said that she taught at Catholic schools for 14 years. But Amy, you told me that you were a history teacher, and yet you were starting off every class with a prayer?
Yes, and that's honestly, I taught for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia in both a grade school, and the majority of my years teaching I taught at a high school, and that's something that they encourage no matter what subject you teach, you begin with a prayer.
Interesting.
And I chose to begin with, I had gone on a retreat of something I just did for myself in my 20s, and I met someone who told me a story that when their whole school, I think it was a private boys' prep school, started praying the prayer for peace, it's often known as the St. Francis prayer. When they started the day off with that, there was never a fight in school, you know. And so I always remember that. So when I left the grade school classroom and I started teaching high school, I decided that I was going to start every class with, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. You know, and all my students, I would give them a copy of that. They put it in the back of their notebook, and that's how we started every day. And then often I would say St. Francis, and they would say, pray for us. And then I would just randomly say saints. And I met a student recently. We were like, we remember, how many saints is she going to say today that we have to say pray for us? Yeah.
Fantastic,
and I got
though.
To teach ninth grade history, and I would give them a saint project, because when you teach the Middle Ages of Europe, the church is so central. So I would tell them to pick a saint, and then I asked them, like, what land do they live in? What ruler of the land? What was the government like? So they were able to look at it from the historical perspective, but still incorporate their faith.
Yeah. I like it. Well, amazingly, for all that you accomplished in your sport, the audience will be surprised to hear that you often questioned God as to why he gave you the talent of running. Share that story with us, if you would, please.
Yeah, so like I had said before, I actually liked other sports. And when I was an eighth grader and a ninth grader going into high school, I was asked to run cross country. I'd never even heard of cross country. My plan was to be in the plays. I wanted to be in the musicals on stage and act. And I realized that I had a talent, and the teammates on the cross country team, the coach said, you know, you did commit here first and we'd really like to have you. So I thought, you know, I guess I do have a talent, because I had been wondering what my talent was. You know, in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in school, you have these talent shows and people are showing off their talents. And I thought, well, I don't have any talent. So when I started running and winning, I realized, I guess I do have a talent. And then I started questioning God, like, this isn't helping anyone. Why can't I have, like, this dynamic personality where I lead people to serve you, or a great voice where I can lead people in song to praise you? And I would be on these long runs. When you're a distance runner, you have a lot of time alone with your own thoughts. And I would question this, you know, how is this helping anyone? How is this talent helping anyone is really my question that I raised to God. But I was always taught in my Catholic education, if you have a talent, you use it. That's what God wants you to do. And honestly, it felt good to be good at something, and it felt great to win, you know. So I don't want to act like, oh, I only did this for God. It also felt good to be good at something.
Sure.
So I kept doing it, and so I had that question even running in high school, and especially running in college. And so then I became a teacher, which was great, because I always wanted to coach. So I coached other athletes, and I thought, well, maybe this is how I'm helping people as a coach. And I actually coached an Eagle. The guy that was on the Eagles, his last name was Perry. And one day he wanted to quit, and I talked to him, and I said, well, you can't quit if you don't. And he didn't quit after I gave him a little speech. You know, and I thought, well, you know, maybe that, you know, maybe that was me helping people.
Yeah.
But then when I got married, my brother and I are very close. Like I said, I'm the oldest five, and the next child in our family is my brother, the only boy.
Okay.
And he always made me laugh. So when I got married, I was about 30 years old, and I said, listen, I want you to give a speech, because I knew he would make people laugh. So when he stood up and he started giving his speech at the dinner, our wedding reception, he said, you know, when I was preparing the speech, my friend said, oh, you got any funny stories to tell? Did she throw any parties? You know, talk about that. And he said, no, actually, Amy's kind of responsible. And honestly, Amy, you know, when I was growing up, my dad really wanted me to be good in baseball. And my dad would take me to the park and try to make me good at baseball. And he looked at my dad and said, sorry, Dad, not good at baseball. And he talked about some other sports. And he said, you know, then I saw Amy ran, and she was good at it. And I thought, well, she could do it. Maybe I could do it, too.
Mm.
And then he ended up joining. My parents moved out of the city when I was a freshman in college. And my brother actually went to a public school in the suburbs, and he joined the cross-country team and made great friends there and really loved running, ended up loving running himself. And then he started coaching, and he coached all Americans, and he coaches in New Jersey for a public school. And when he was 30 years old, the school district gave him a lifetime achievement award because of all he had done as a coach, and he was only 30 years old. And he shared how coaching really is his favorite thing in his life. And he said, I credit that to my sister. And I had never heard that story before. It was my wedding day. And I was like, wow, really? And then years later, I was thinking about it, and it kind of went, a light bulb went off. It wasn't until years later, I thought, all that time, I thought, God, I'm not helping anyone in here. My example, my younger brother saw my example.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wow. Wow.
And even when I look back, though, in high school, there were girls on my team that started going to mass in the morning before school, because I went to a Catholic school as an option, and I started going with them, and they were my teammates. So I definitely see that God had a plan that I didn't see. You know?
That's right. That's right. That's usually the way it goes. And we always see it much later in life, but praise God that we do get to see those, and we do get to use them for other people at the time and later on in both. So really good testimony. Folks, Amy even gave faith advice during her speech when she was inducted into the DeSales University Athletic Hall of Fame. But I need to first thank Dan O'Leary, the guest from 2 weeks ago on episode 164. He made a donation to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and although I traded some emails with him, I also, with his permission, wanted to acknowledge that publicly before I continue with Amy and have her talk about that Hall of Fame speech that she gave. I'm hoping and assuming that you've been listening to Catholic Sports Radio long enough now to know that this is a ministry for me, and that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that, unfortunately, I have to somehow try to manage to come up with money out of my own pocket to cover all the expenses that go along with operating Catholic Sports Radio. Keeping in mind that this is all just me, meaning I don't have the luxury of having a staff or even volunteers, but I do it because I feel that this is what God has called me to, and my aim is to have Catholic Sports Radio move more people closer to Christ through what they hear on the show from guests like Amy, from guests like Dan O'Leary. As best I can, I try to regularly report exact costs when I do incur new expenses so that you know what a financial contribution to this ministry helps with. On last week's episode with auto racing legend Mario Andretti, I finally disclosed the real challenging issues that I had been having for a while, which were really causing lots of problems with interviews that I was trying to record. Praise God for the compassion that I witnessed from guests while my computer was crashing and issues kept being thrown at me that as I finally revealed last week, forced me to have to get a new computer. I mentioned that cost last week, but I want to mention that there was also a separate bill from the computer guy who I had mentioned that I had called. He did the setup, the data migration, and all the necessary hands-on work here on site to get me up and running with the new computer that I'm now recording on, plus an extra item that he had to purchase. But that, plus his help, his time, of course, came with a cost, which was $314.75. Ugh, I don't even like to read that. So again, when I ask you to prayerfully consider supporting my ministry through a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, that's what I'm up against. That's the latest example of a cost that I have to take on my own otherwise, and in this case, a very large one at that. Just like Dan O'Leary and others that I've mentioned on past episodes, by way of saying their names on the air, there are guests and listeners who have donated to my ministry, and you can do the same by either using the Donate to CSR button that's near the top of the homepage on CatholicSportsRadio.net, or by getting in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask for the address so you can send a check through the mail. Either way, I'm most grateful for your consideration of a financial contribution to help me with the costs that I face so I can keep this ministry going and give back by serving God through Catholic Sports Radio and working to move more people closer to Christ. Amy, go ahead and share about your Hall of Fame speech last year and the way that you wove faith into that.
So Yale University is a Catholic college, and sometimes, I don't know, the identity of the school, I wanted to make sure when I gave a speech, I witnessed to the fact that the school was Catholic and that I was able to go to Mass every week and that my faith was able to be a part of my life there. I wanted to highlight that during my speech. So I definitely wanted to share that when I ran, I made a joke that we had t-shirts that said, you know, our sport is your sport's punishment, because the Hall of Fame is not just for runners, it was for basketball players and volleyball players. You know, running tends to not be the most fun sport, and it can really hurt to keep it simply. So, especially, I was a cross-country runner, so I ran distance, and our races were 5K, 3.1 miles, and we had a home course that was hill after hill after hill after hill. It was like you went up one hill, and you got a little break, and then there was another one, and then there was another one. And there was one hill in the middle of the course that I can remember. It was extremely steep, and it was hidden in the woods, so, you know, if you wanted to walk, no one would really see you, except maybe the runners that were close to you. But I got this mentality where I'm like, I cannot walk. I cannot walk. Even if I could be walking faster than I'm running right now, I just cannot walk. I have to run this whole thing. And this hill made me want to walk more than I can express in words. My legs felt like they were on fire, and my lungs felt like I just couldn't get any air. Wow. And I remember thinking, okay, if Jesus can carry his cross to his death, I can run up this hill. And that was the thought that would keep me going, and I would get up the hill. And I think I thought that more than once, for sure. And at the time, I had no idea what redemptive suffering was. In fact, I'm just becoming familiar with that phrase. But as I look back, God was giving me the opportunity to offer up suffering and unite it with his suffering. And I didn't realize it at the time, but when I look back, wow, what a gift.
Yeah, fantastic. And I love that you told that story during your Hall of Fame speech, because unfortunately the inclination is for someone to get up there and thank every name they could think of and to maybe talk about a highlight from their athletic career, maybe tell a funny story, and then that's it. And so bravo to you for stepping out in faith and saying, I want to make sure that I share something from my athletic career that reinforces the Catholic element. And like you said, of course, it's a Catholic institution, but unless you're leaving out a part of the story, and I don't think you are, I don't think anyone told you, oh, by the way, you need to include something about the Catholic faith in there. So I love that you stepped out in faith and did that. Let's backtrack a bit here. There was something that you mentioned only briefly in the first half of the show, and it goes to something that you told me in the lead up to today, which you had written to me. You said, I had a hard time fitting in with my teammates and classmates in grade school. I loved soccer, but was such an outsider, it hurt, end quote. So talk about how you dealt with that, as well as what it ultimately led to 3 years ago, and then in 2020 also.
Yeah, so in fourth grade, I played soccer, and it was a boy-girl team. And then I went up to a traveling team, which was only girls. And a lot of the girls that were on my team were also in my class at school. And they were the cool girls, you know. I mean, I think looking back now, no one ever wants to be 13 again. Mm. But when you're 11, 12, and 13, you want so badly to fit in, to be popular, to be liked. And I was awkward, and I was a late bloomer. And I just wasn't in with the cool crowd. And I would go to soccer practice, and they would all be planning things and talking to each other and laughing. And I definitely was an outsider, and I didn't understand why, because mm-hmm. obviously I like the same things as them. Mm-hmm. So at one point I talked to my mom about it, and she told me her advice was just be yourself. Mm. And I remember thinking, what does that mean? And who is that? I don't even know who that is. And, you know, you just carry on and you carry on. And because I have the blessing of living to continue until my 40s now, as I aged and grew with wisdom, I realized that every time I held on to my faith and I chose a choice that was what I thought God wanted more than what I wanted, I learned who God wanted me to be. And my faith really helped me to learn what it means to be yourself, and how God has a plan for everyone. And it's an amazing plan. And I wish I had heard the phrase, St. Catherine of Siena, be who God meant you to be and you'll set the world on fire. So I wrote a book called Be Yourself for girls who are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, 9th grade, and they're going through what I was going through. And basically, all of the things that I needed to hear back then, I put in this book, mm-hmm. but I also incorporated things. I remember in 7th grade, we would have these books we'd pass around, and you'd write your name and your birthday and your favorite TV show, your favorite song, your favorite celebrity. Mm-hmm. So those kind of fun things are also in the journal, yeah, but it is a Catholic journal.
Okay. And then that was 2019. That's, I want to make sure the audience understands, that's what I was referring to that Amy did 3 years ago. And then in 2020.
Right. So when that book came out, it really was well received. And then because it was Be Yourself, a Catholic Journal for Girls, people started asking me, well, where's the boys one? So I got to work and I wrote a Catholic Journal for Boys, and that was published. I guess 2 or 3 years later, yes.
Great. And audience, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Amazon so that you can look at what Amy's referring to that she put out. Share with the audience, Amy, about another project of yours, CatholicsOnline.net. What will folks find when they visit that website?
Yes, so CatholicsOnline.net is a Catholic directory of Catholic artisans, speakers, authors, businesses, and ministries, actually. So I started it because I actually started a Facebook group where many of us who identified as like a Catholic speaker or someone who runs a Catholic ministry were helping each other on social media, try to navigate how to market our missions on social media. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a website, and our website has a map, so you can find someone that is close to you that is a Catholic speaker or makes Catholic products, and you click right on the map to where you live, and you'll find who's near you. And we do have a blog that I write occasionally. Like, I'll write Easter basket gift ideas, and we have a beautiful sacrament gift catalog that's free. You sign up for a newsletter and you get this. It's like a toy catalog for adults, but it's all Catholic gifts.
Great.
And it's divided into gifts for baptism and First Holy Communion and, you know, confirmation, even holy orders, anointing of the sick, RCIA. So if you're looking for a sacrament gift, you can find something that's very uniquely made, and the Holy Spirit is really on fire with Catholics doing amazing things.
I was going to say, you're really covering all the bases there. No sports pun intended. And then furthermore, this is neat. You also have something called Prayer Wine Chocolate. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, so I actually started a blog. After I became a mom, I stopped teaching. So I taught for 14 years, and becoming a mom was quite an adventure that was unexpected. My husband and I experienced infertility, and we welcomed our first son through adoption. And once we brought him home, I just could not go back to work. I just had longed for this child for so long. And I probably burn out teaching, too. It's the kind of career where you do get burnout. So I didn't lose my desire to work, but I figured I can work from home. And then we were hoping to adopt more children. So I thought, I'll start a blog and I'll document how we're going to adopt, because now we only have one salary. We're not going to be able to adopt through an adoption agency. We're going to have to find our children on our own. And I figured I would record that. And I also thought it would be a great idea to share gift guides for Christmas that incorporated, you know, the faith, like gifts that celebrate the faith and nurture the faith. And a couple of girlfriends and I, we would get together once a week and we would pray the rosary, but we'd also have some wine and chocolate. So we had been doing it for years, and we'd say our intentions. And, you know, at one point I was praying to find a man to marry, and I found him. And my one friend was praying to get pregnant and have children. And all these prayers were answered, and we were talking once, like, if we ever wrote a book about our answered prayers, what we'd call it, and we said Prayer Wine Chocolate, so that's where the name comes from.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but God had other plans for that, and I share a lot of, you know, stories about faith in general, but also prayer journaling. I share how I use prayer journaling to navigate depression and anxiety, and I share a lot of prayer journaling there, too.
Gotcha. Great, great. Well, somehow, despite all that we're hearing that you've been doing, as you mentioned just a minute ago, you do manage to be a wife and a mother also. So let's close by hearing all about your marriage and your children.
Yes. So my husband's name is Matt, and we got married in 2006. And he was a cradle Catholic. That was very important to me, that whoever I married put faith high up on the priority list. So we got married, and we couldn't wait to have children. And we were given a little fork in the road with infertility, but I honestly always had adoption in my heart. So we, you know, thankfully, not all husbands, I don't think, embrace the idea of adoption, but Matt was totally for it. And we started the road to adoption in 2012. We became parents to our oldest son, Xavier. And he was sick when he was born, so I, you know, it was easy to stay home the first year and just be with him, but then I chose to stay home, and then we just, we both really wanted more children, so God always provides, and we ended up adopting twins in 2017. They're turning 5 in a week.
Beautiful. Wow.
And so we found out about the twins. They were born, and I wrote a whole story on Caroline Chocolate, how I just saw Our Lady of Guadalupe for 9 months, and then one day someone called from St. Mary's Hospital, twins were born. And 3 days later, we were picking them up.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, we have 3 children.
Wow.
And my oldest does go to a Catholic school, a classical Catholic school.
Yeah,
that
okay.
is near us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a great high note, a great way to end the show, but Amy, let me thank you first. Really great having you on the show, and I really enjoyed everything that you shared with us. God bless you and your family, and happy birthday to the twins.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce. This is an honor. Thank you for giving me the time to talk with you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And folks, as a nod to the very distinguished career that you heard us talk about that Amy had as an athlete, we will close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With Thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.